Section 4. You will hear someone giving a talk to parents on planning further education for their children. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40.
Pause the recording for 1 minute.
Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Tonight, I'd like to address myself to parents who are planning to send their children to university, but who might be concerned about the cost. There's no doubt that university education is a great asset. Not only will your children learn and grow, but according to the Department of Skills figures, on average, someone with higher education earns 50% more in a lifetime than someone without. But in the last decade or so, the cost of getting a degree has more than doubled, and it looks as if things are going to get worse. Maintenance grants were abolished in 1997, and tuition fees introduced for students in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. University fees are rising steadily, some of them more than £6,000 a year. If you thought funding a university education was beyond your reach, think again. With sound planning, you can provide your children with this opportunity of a lifetime. If you're a new parent, remember that the earlier you start saving, the less you have to pay every month and the greater your return. Money will give you flexibility about where your children study and the course they choose. But how should you invest? There's no simple answer, but there are a number of options. The National Union of Students estimates that the average undergraduate needs about £25,000 to finance 3 years at university. Based on these figures, it is projected that when someone is at university in 20 years' time, the cost will be approaching £40,000. But this is assuming that university fees will only increase with the rate of inflation. It could, of course, be more. Parents can save money by encouraging their children to study locally and live at home. Almost 80% of the costs students incur are living expenses: rent, food bills, travel, laundry, etc. If your child is already 13 years old and you haven't started to save yet, there is no time to waste. If the young person is interested in joining the armed forces, for example the Royal Air Force, he can get the RAF to sponsor him throughout university. Then he'll fly fighter jets and after that work in the public sector as a commercial pilot. Sponsorship from the armed forces is an option hundreds of students take every year. The RAF, for example, will sponsor students for at least £4,000 a year. But this involves a minimum service commitment for the RAF. It's at least 4 years. If your child likes the idea of engineering or law, he could consider a sandwich course. These normally involve a paid, year-long placement in the industry that he's studying, plus the normal time at university. You get experience in your chosen field, plus a year's salary. When your child is 16, you should start putting aside what you can, but there's no way you'll be able to fund a degree on savings alone. If your child is a gifted sportsman, you may be able to secure a sports scholarship. Scholarships and bursaries come in all sizes, are awarded for a variety of reasons, and may be a one-off or annual payments. You may be eligible to apply simply because of where you come from or for a specific course you are attending. They are seldom advertised, and many go unclaimed every year. The internet is a great way to start looking. There is a searchable database at www.studentmoney.org. And while you're at the computer, go to www.google.co.uk and type in some keywords. If you're a keen cricketer, for example, put in University Bursary Sport Cricket, for instance. Top of the results page is the University of Kent, which gives a £1,500 cricket bursary to talented players. If you haven't put any money aside, your teenager will almost certainly need to get a student loan. By far the best way for him or her to borrow. The maximum yearly loan is about £5,000. There are two reasons why the loan is so attractive. Firstly, the index-linked interest rate is very low, far lower than you'd get from the bank. Secondly, you don't have to start paying it back until you've left university and you start earning a decent salary. Now, a few more things to look at.
That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Pause the recording for 30 seconds.
That is the end of the listening test. In the IELTS test, you would now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the listening answer sheet.